Peter came up and asked Jesus, "When a sister or brother wrongs me, how many times must I forgive? 7 times? "No," Jesus replied, "not 7 times. I tell you 70 times 7. And here's why. The kingdom of heaven is like a ruler who decided to settle accounts with the royal officials. When the audit was begun, one was brought in who owed tens of millions of dollars. As the debtor had no way of paying, the ruler ordered this official to be sold, along with family and property, in payment for the debt. At this, the official bowed down in homage and said, 'I beg you, your highness, be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full.' Moved with pity, the ruler let the official go and wrote off the debt. Then that same official went out and met a colleague who owed the official $20. The official seized and throttled his debtor with the demand, 'Pay back what you owe me.' The debtor dropped to the ground and began to plead, 'Just give me time and I will pay you back in full.' But the official would hear none of it, and instead had the colleague put in debtor's prison until the money was paid. When the other officials saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and went to the ruler, reporting the entire incident. The ruler sent for the official and said, 'You worthless wretch, I canceled your entire debt when you pleaded with me. Should you not have dealt mercifully with your colleague as I dealt with you?' Then in anger, the ruler handed the official over to be tortured until the debt had been paid in full. My Abba in heaven will treat you exactly the same way, unless you truly forgive your sisters and brothers from your hearts." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy are yours in the triune God. Amen. I have been wrong about a lot of things in my life. I mean, a lot of things. In fact, I think I've been wrong about everything that matters most. Religion, politics, family, my own identity. For each of these areas, there was a time when I was convinced of the opposite of what I believe today. So if I happen to be right about anything today, it's probably only because I've been wrong about it at some point in the past. It's humbling to realize this, and uncomfortable, not least of all because it means that every time I judge someone who I disagree with, I'm literally judging myself. Every time I think that people I disagree with are stupid or mean or greedy or ignorant or self-righteous, I'm reminded of just how stupid and mean and greedy and ignorant and self-righteous I have been in my life. Sometimes being a Christian feels like being haunted by the Holy Ghost. It's like she follows me around everywhere, and whenever I get judgy, she reminds me of every time I've done the exact thing that I'm judging others for. Now, I know that there are some people out there who live from birth till death thinking the same thing about God, belonging to the same political party, and believing the same things about the type of life that they want to live. And maybe that's you. But even so, there must have been times that you fell short of your own standards. There must have been times that you've done wrong. I've done plenty of wrong in my life, too. Even when I've had the right standards, I've failed to live up to them. I've said things and done things, great and small, that have caused unnecessary harm to others. And I know I'm not alone. We have all sinned in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. This is why we begin worship here every week the same way, with confession. It's not that we enjoy reveling in our wretchedness. It's because the truth sets us free. Telling the truth about ourselves and our lives sets us free. It sets us free from self-righteousness and judgment and shame. And when we do it together, when we hear others tell the truth about themselves, and when we do the same, we share in a vulnerability that makes authentic community possible. Everything we do as a community is built upon the foundation that none of us is perfect. We're all a work in progress. If the world is to know that we're Christians by our love, the key to our love is forgiveness. Because love without forgiveness is mere sentimentality. It's impossible to love another human without forgiving their shortcomings. And it's impossible to receive love from another human without receiving forgiveness. There would be no communion of the saints without the forgiveness of sins. And this is what Jesus is addressing today, the communion of saints and the forgiveness of sins. He gives us some helpful tips on how and why to forgive. He talks about how to deal with someone who's wronged you. The first step is to go and talk with them about it. Don't sit and stew in it. Don't go and talk to your friends about it. Go and talk with them directly. These have been some of the most meaningful and life-changing conversations I've ever had in my life. They haven't been comfortable, but this is how conflict is handled in a healthy community. It requires that we value our relationships enough to prefer courageous conversations over drifting apart. It requires that we be open to hearing about the impact of our actions, not just our intentions. This is the difference between being a safe space and a brave space. The only relationships that I can feel brave in are those where I trust that if I say or do something that hurts someone else, they'll come and talk to me about it. Please, if you ever have an issue with me, please come and talk to me about it. But Jesus understands that we're humans, and he knows that this isn't always going to go well. And so I love that he understood that these conversations wouldn't always have the outcome that we would hope for. Inevitably, sometimes, even though you have the courageous conversation, the person gets defensive and snaps back at you. And in such cases, Jesus says, let that person be as a Gentile or tax collector to you. And Jesus was crystal clear about how Gentiles and tax collectors were to be treated, with love and forgiveness. And love and forgiveness are different from friendship and trust. You can forgive someone and no longer be willing to be in a relationship with them. And sometimes that's necessary. So then in the second reading, Jesus talks about why it's important that we forgive. We forgive others because we know the truth that we need forgiveness too. We should forgive others 7 times 70 because we have been forgiven 70 times 70. To not forgive is torture. It's terrible for you and for everyone around you. It binds you to the wrong that has been done to you. The harm that you're holding on to starts to come out sideways all over the people that you love. Without forgiveness, hurt people hurt people. But with forgiveness, freed people free people. So I invite you to consider the last 10 or 20 or maybe even 50 years of your life. What are some of the major moments where you have changed your mind, where you've recognized that you have been in the wrong? Another Christian word for this is to repent. When have you repented? And what was it that brought you to finally come around to repent? I don't know about you, but I know that in my life, I have never once been convicted by someone else's self-righteousness. Never. It's almost always been authentic relationship with others that's changed me. It's often been the honest, bold vulnerability of others that has convicted me and changed my mind. Those sorts of relationships and conversations are only possible for people who are forgiven and forgiving. So, beloved, we have been forgiven. We have been set free. So let us go and do likewise. Amen.